Morning, welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week we're going to talk about yoga. My guest is Jude
Matulich Hall.
No worries. Who is a yoga teacher in Astoria. And good morning.
Good morning.
So, how long have you been doing yoga or teaching yoga?
I've been teaching yoga for almost 8 years. February, it'll be 8 years. I've been doing yoga for 18 years. Yeah.
Okay, and you've got this CYT, what is Certified Yoga Teacher?
Yes, Certified Yoga Teacher.
And what does that entail?
That entails I went to a Yoga Alliance qualified school and studied with teachers and for several weeks, hours, and received a certification. I continue to do that off and on throughout life and to stay with continuing education.
Now, yoga teachers aren't certified by, there's not a board, a state board,
no,
or certification,
it depends
or licensure.
Right. It depends on the state you're in. Here in Oregon, it's not required to be certified, but I believe that it's very important.
So other states have it as a requirement?
Yes, some do.
Oh, And why would that be?
Interesting. Because nobody's said people need to be certified to do something. You can.
And why do you think people need to be certified?
I think it's very important that people know what they're doing and they study what they're doing. You know, just as we wouldn't go to a chiropractor who, you know, wasn't in school, or you know, invited a plumber into our house that didn't have, you know, their license. Mm-hmm. You know, it shows people that we're dedicated, mm-hmm, and that this is what we do, and we're professional.
That makes sense to me. Over the years, I've treated people who were injured doing yoga, mm-hmm, in classes. Only during in classes. But I know that a lot of people have yoga tapes, or they watch yoga on TV, and nobody's watching them, nobody's supervising them, and that it would be easy for someone at home to be hurt by not being supervised.
Right. They might look at the pictures in magazines or books and looking at these professional people that have been doing yoga for decades, generations, you know, and try to look like that, because it's, mm-hmm, it's not a visual practice. And so often, you know, we as human beings, we see something and we mimic it, but if it's not within our capacity, instead of backing off and saying, oh, okay, right now I can't do this, it's kind of in our society to push ourselves, mm-hmm, to succeed or to.
And in most things, it's encouraged to do that. So what, yes, happens if you push yourself in yoga?
You're going to hurt yourself, and possibly to the point of it being a permanent injury. You know, mm-hmm, if you overstretch ligaments, those take so long to heal.
If ever.
And if you happen to have a weakness in a joint or a vertebrae and you are pushing yourself, then that weakness will be the first to go. I think more often than not, joint and those kind of injuries happen more than like torn muscles. I've not ever seen a torn muscle, mm-hmm, in yoga, but I've heard
sprains,
of people spraining.
Damage the ligaments and the joints.
And pulling.
Yeah. I would agree. That's what I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of classes do you teach?
We teach all sorts of classes. We try to focus on a wide array of people. Mm-hmm. We have gentle classes that are geared towards people with injuries that are trying to get over the injuries, or even people that have had long-term illnesses. Our gentle classes work on building people back up. And then we have classes specifically for people that can't get down on the floor. They can sit in a chair. and older people. And then we have the classes that are for more athletic types, that deal with alignment and strengthening and learning the postures. And you know, just stepping up, you mm-hmm. know, and then the more advanced classes where we move more quickly and get calories burned. But all our classes are really devoted to keeping a person safe and keeping their joints healthy. We really, really focus on that. That's our biggest priority.
And so you're saying we. So there are other teachers. Who are the other teachers?
Yes, I have Terry Powers, who's also a certified yoga teacher. And we are taking in a third teacher, Andrea Mazzarella, who is also becoming certified.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be integrating her in as she's getting after she gets certified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now the yoga studio is on Marine Drive in Astoria.
Mm-hmm. Lotus Yoga. At 1230 Marine Drive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like there's classes for every level for
yes.
pretty much whatever a person would need.
We try to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We even have a 30-minute class that we're going to be bringing in.
Like a lunchtime
class?
Yeah,
a lunchtime thing.
Yeah. Cool.
We're working on that now and even possibly having lunch for people.
So one of the things about lunch workouts is people say, well, I don't have time to take a shower. So that wouldn't be an issue?
No.
And what about changing your clothes?
No, this class is actually, if people want to just walk in exactly as they are. I mean, the idea is a guy could walk in his suit and tie, women, if you're wearing skirt, you know, you'll be able to sit down in a chair, do movements that will help release tension and stress that you may have accumulated throughout your day, and basically a little breather. We call it a yoga break, and the idea is to get you enough energy going that you can make it through your day without feeling lethargic, getting those afternoon blahs,
uh-huh.
And also releasing the morning. So
that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. Everyone should probably do that. I mean, also having a break where you're doing something physical in the day is good.
I think so. I think so often we just forget to take a deep breath, or know that we can reach our arms up over our heads or do a little twist and mm-hmm. bend our spine. And it's amazing just what a few seconds can do.
Now, there are some misconceptions about yoga that yoga requires me to get bent into a pretzel, and I'm not very flexible, especially if you're a guy.
Oh, yes. I've heard that a lot. You know, just having conversations with people and saying, mm-hmm. oh, I'm a yoga teacher. And they're like, oh, I can't do yoga. I can't even touch my toes. And my answer is always, well, that's exactly why you should do yoga. And I think, because when the word yoga comes up, a lot of people immediately get those pictures that they've seen in magazines or in movies, you mm-hmm. know, of people wrapping themselves up in pretzel-like positions. And but one thing to keep in mind is those people, a lot of people that are that flexible have had yoga in their lives ever since they were children, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And others, you know, if they're dedicated to the practice of yoga, they're probably doing it a lot more, especially if it's their profession.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have someone that has, you know, a 9-to-5 job, and or the, you know, carpenter that has been wielding tools for many years, you know, those aren't the kind of positions that we put people in. and so you know, there's an art side to yoga too, where what you're looking at in magazines and stuff are artists doing these postures. And
mm-hmm.
That's not everyday yoga. Yeah,
uh-huh.
For sure.
So it's a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you go with where people are. You start where you are. You don't
exactly,
start, you don't
yeah.
start there. The
no,
finished
it's,
product.
Yeah, you don't say, okay, this is what, and also we don't say this is what we're aiming for by the time, this time next year, you're going to be in this fantastic posture. You know, it's it's one of our sayings that we talk about in class is to start where you are, to listen to your body. And you might feel different now than you did yesterday, or something might be easier now than it was before, or mm-hmm. even sometimes things can change to be more difficult, just depending on what kind of day you're having.
Well, right, if you're having more inflammation on a particular day, certain things might be much more difficult.
Exactly. We know what the weather can do to us too, you know, especially around here when it starts getting cold and wet. Mm-hmm. We take all that in consideration, and it's a constant reminder to everybody that you don't have to look like the person next to you, and you don't have to look like the teacher, that it's really about focusing inward, feeling how the body's reacting to what you're doing, and accepting it, each and everything that comes up, and mm-hmm. and backing off when it's too much.
You know, we've been talking about the physical aspect, but there's a whole other part, which is the breathing. I mean, which is, I would say, equally important.
Yes,
that we haven't talked about. People focus on, oh God, I have to get in a position. But
right.
If the position is in a chair, then how hard could it be?
Right. And it's not, we kind of shy away from words like hard and easy, because it just depends on who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try not to define like that. But it's amazing how even with the chair yoga, how much you can get out of it. And I've often... To tell you the truth, the first time I was introduced to chair yoga, I kind of scoffed at it.
Mm-hmm.
But after I did it, I realized how, oh, well, of course, this is not just about
sitting
getting sweaty and you know, pushing yourself and all that stuff. It was when I was younger and mm-hmm. first started. But it's really, you still are working with alignment. You're still working on strengthening the body, and you're using the breath, and it's slowing down the breath, lets the mind relax, and it soothes and relaxes the body and gets you to a place where you can really feel the body. And I think that's the most important tool. That's why the breath is the most important tool in the practice, because it's our breath that gets our minds to stop going crazy and gets us into feeling the sensations that are occurring in the body.
So then you're focused on actually what you're doing instead of mindlessly
right.
going about our day.
Because how often do any of us, you know, we get in our car and we drive somewhere, and 5 minutes later you realize, oh my gosh, I've driven 10 blocks without even noticing. But
and I passed my where I was going.
Yeah. Yes. Or we've eaten and it's like, oh my gosh, I just had a whole plate of food in front of me and now it's gone and I don't know what happened. Well, the idea is that the breath is happening right now, and we don't think about breaths mm-hmm. that we've taken in the past. We don't plan on, okay, I'm going to take 100 breaths tomorrow. You know, it's something we're just always doing. And mm-hmm. so by focusing into the breath, we're really experiencing the moment and what's happening in our bodies, and mm-hmm.
it's the quickest way to let everything go.
It really is. I mean, it's yeah. amazing, just stopping and inhaling and exhaling. Something so simple,
right? Yeah. Mm. But you would say that that's as important as what you're physically doing,
right? Because you know, you could really, we use the breath when you're in a posture that's too difficult for you. The breath is the first thing to start reacting, and you might not necessarily feel a weird pulling in a muscle, but if you're paying attention to your breath and your breath starts becoming jumpy and erratic, you can immediately go, oh, wait a second, that's not how I'm supposed to be breathing. Let me adjust so I can breathe properly. And there suddenly it's like, oh, well, physically I feel better too. And your muscles and joints and everything are going to feel better. So mm-hmm. it's just a really good tool, because we don't always know when we're pushing ourselves, but our breath definitely does.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's take a break. Okay. When we come back, we'll talk more. You are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Jude
Matulich.
Oh, God. Matulich Hall.
Okay.
She's a certified yoga teacher in Astoria, and we're talking about yoga. You are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and we're talking about yoga. In preparation for this program, I did some looks online at PubMed, which is the United States government's published record of all published medical research in the world. And there's stuff that's not in English, which is difficult. But I looked at yoga and a number of different problems, and I found many, many citations. I looked at yoga and low back pain, and I got, I think, 189 published records. And I found one that was a review of a bunch of studies. They looked at, what did they look at? I think they looked at 10 studies in their meta-analysis. And they found that there's good research to support the use of yoga for short-term, moderate, and long-term low back problems.
Right.
So that there's another tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And have you found that in your practice?
I have. I actually, personally, I have scoliosis, and I found out I had it when I was 19, and I had x-rays taken that found it, and just recently I had x-rays taken again, and the doctor was amazed at that my spine is much healthier now than it was when I was 19, which is really amazing because I'm almost 40, and more often than not you see
worsening
no matter even with healthy spines, oftentimes from 19 to almost 40, you have decrease. I'm actually taller than
I Wow. Well, if your spine is straightened
out. Standing up straight and the space in between the vertebrae have increased slightly. You know, it's I'm not a foot taller, but
right, but that's cool.
Yeah, and it's just
I mean, it's not that you grew, it's that your spine is healthier.
Right, my spine's healthier.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and I've seen so many things. I actually have students that have said, I have one student that she has major neck issues from an accident. And when she started doing yoga, and ever since, she says she never has neck pain anymore. And it used to be a chronic condition.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people that had old sports injuries, that their injuries aren't bothering them as much as they used to. And plantar fasciitis, I have a student that completely went away.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, these are specific people that this has occurred mm-hmm, with. Mm-hmm. And I just love hearing the stories. I'm always hearing about how someone was on antidepressants and started doing yoga and was able to get off of antidepressants. And just amazing stories of just people getting into their bodies, mm-hmm. learning about, you know, learning how to work with issues like lower back pain and just getting better for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I have to bring up another study that was really different, looking at people doing yoga along with their rehab after having a knee replacement. And they definitely did, the group that did yoga in addition to the therapy did better than people who only did therapy.
Right.
And so the recommendation is we should be doing yoga when we're rehabbing from surgery.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a lot of times we think that, not we, but some people think that yoga is, oh, it's just stretching and relaxing or getting into those crazy, you know, pretzel positions.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's so much more than that because you're not just getting flexibility into the tissue, but you're making space in the joints, you're promoting circulation and some things like circulation, it's immediate. You're strengthening and whereas mainstream exercises such as aerobic and weightlifting is absolutely fantastic. Those really focus on the bigger muscle groups.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with yoga, you're not just working the bigger muscle groups, you're also getting into those little muscles. And those are the muscles that tend to never get worked, and so they're weak or tight.
And those are stabilizers.
And they stabilize, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
you know,
a good
stabilizing. And with gentle, mindful movements, you also lubricate the mm-hmm. vertebrae.
But you're talking joints. About musculoskeletal, but I found tons of studies looking at improving cardiovascular health.
Right.
Helping with weight mm-hmm. loss, reducing depression, which you mentioned, lowering blood pressure pretty consistently. I mean, these are not just joint things. These are pretty significant whole body things.
Right.
And the one study looking at cardiovascular health said that even a short-term yoga-based lifestyle is important to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, indicated by weight loss, reduced blood pressure, increase in good chemicals, and reduction in bad chemicals. And this was looking at obese men.
Yeah, and this is the chemical effects that it just has on the, they've done brain studies that show how the brain just starts to function differently mm-hmm. and with those chemicals. I think those aspects are the mindfulness of just that mm-hmm. getting into the body and not zoning out on something else, but really getting in. And when we start doing that, the mind and the brain can start really doing their job. And with that mindfulness, I think people start eating better, and they might not even notice that they're breathing a little deeper. And when we breathe deeper, our hearts beat slower.
Blood
pressure drops, you know.
Inflammation's reduced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the heart isn't having to, and when we're moving, that circulation is going through, and the heart isn't having to, you know, work 100 times harder to get that blood flowing. You know, the movement is helping. And so it's so amazing.
So how does yoga cause weight loss? There are a number of citations of weight loss with yoga.
Well, you know, I mean, when you start working the muscles, when you're stretching and becoming more flexible, the blood can flow more freely, which we know that blood circulation to any area of the body is going to stimulate it and promote health in that area. The mindfulness, I think that people start becoming more mindful about what they're putting into their bodies. Mm-hmm. They start, when you start listening to your body, it tells you, you know, that maybe you don't feel so good after eating certain things. and you start craving mm-hmm. healthier food. And of course you're burning calories when you're doing yoga, and you're strengthening, which
is more than just sitting in a chair.
Right. More than
even if you're doing it.
Even if you're doing it sitting in a chair, right. Mm-hmm. And so you're strengthening, and so the muscles are definitely when muscle mass increases, fat decreases.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, there's all kinds of studies showing weight loss with yoga.
It's amazing, yeah.
There are so many things that I saw that surprised me. There's a video that's been going around Facebook of a guy who was a former paratrooper who was disabled, walking with canes, and got depressed and sat down for a long time and gained, you know, 200 pounds. And they said, you'll never walk unassisted, you're disabled, forget it, your life is over. And he believed it, and he just sat around for a long time. And he found a yoga teacher, and this little video that's been going around Facebook shows the process from that beginning to, I don't know, 6 months or a year later. I mean, they show him falling over in poses, falling on his face, not being able to balance, you know, being incredibly obese to being able to do poses, and like through the process, yeah. There are different little videos until at the very end, he's running and he's, you know, he's lost. So, I mean, he's holding his pants out, you know, that great, typical thing. And I'd never heard of, you know, yoga for weight loss and health. And obviously this guy got his health back.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Part of it probably was that this one teacher believed in him.
I think so. I think that's important for people to have feel hope. Welcome and comfortable and have hope that mm-hmm. They don't have to be at a certain place in their lives to start. You know, you can start right now, no matter what your weight is, no matter what age you are. I mean, obviously, there are things you have to be careful of if you're at a certain age. You know, there have been studies that if you start doing yoga after the age of 30, there are certain things that you have to be aware of dealing with the spine.
30?
And after the age of 30.
That's really young.
But this is talking like people that have never done yoga before. Okay. Is if they have started at a later age.
Well, a friend of mine started doing chair yoga in her mid-80s and has had amazing improvement in her health, mental health, alertness, ability to do more activity.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, we have some in some older ladies in our classes.
I know people say, "Oh, I have to lose weight before I start."
Oh, I've heard that so many times. Yeah, you know, after I bumped into an older lady that she said, "I'm not ready for yoga yet." And I asked her, "You know, well, what are you waiting for? You know, you're over 60. What are you waiting for? It's time to start now." You know, and I think it gets.
And this is a great time of the year to start anything.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's the new year. You know, you can start making your resolutions, and but also creating sustainable habits. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big thing about the new year, is not to have these great and glamorous huge resolutions of, oh, I'm going to lose this much weight, or I'm going to be able to, you know, touch my toes, but just to say, you know, I'm going to eat well, and I'm going to
exercise on a regular basis.
I'm going to get more flexible.
And
you
not
will.
For 3 months. I mean, people right. They join a class, they're great for 3 months, and then they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sustainable habits are the best way. Maybe not jump into things feet first, but, you know, start out slow, start out little.
So what would be the minimal amount of classes per week that you think that someone could do that would result in any benefit?
You know, I think I've worked with people that as little as once a week made a difference in their lives.
Wow.
Obviously,
and that's probably something someone can sustain.
Right. That's sustainable. Absolutely. Now, of course, if you're looking for specific progression, then more would be required, you know. But if you're wanting to sustain exactly where you are, probably once a week. If you're wanting to get more flexible and stronger, you know, twice a week. Personally, I recommend to all my students that they do it at least 3 times a week. And so if it's not with me, at least, you know, using what they've learned in class on their own. Mm-hmm.
How long would you need to do it?
Well, our classes are 75 minutes approximately. But a lot of.
How about, you know, for home? That's a lot for
that
home.
That is a lot. But that's in our class at the studio. We have the breathing and we integrate all of it, the relaxation at the end. But I honestly, to tell you the truth, I think you can gain benefit from doing yoga 5 minutes a day. You know, you're not going to lose 100 pounds doing that, but it's going to start getting you into your body and getting your mind to connect with your body.
And that might actually encourage you to do more over time.
Yeah, and so I think that if you're taking a class once or twice a week at a qualified studio, and you take some of that home with you, you can get benefit 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes a day. What you have time for, I think, is most important. And that's the great thing about yoga, is because there aren't specific goals and ideas of progression in our, like, our mainstream thinking, that you can feel good just doing a posture or or 15 minutes.
Right.
And then
whatever you
build
can manage. Right. Yeah. So give your contact information.
Okay. Judy Matalich Hall at Lotus Yoga, 1230 Marine Drive. My number is 503-298-3874. Website is www.lotusyogaonline.com. And email is lotusyoga@live.com.
Great. Well, thank you very much. This has been fun. I feel very inspired.
Oh, good.
Now, next week, Joanne will be here with a senior moment. And the week after that, Alan Batchelder will be here as To Your Health Returns. We'll be talking about using energy work to get rid of PTSD. Have a great week, and do some breathing and some moving. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.